Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Christina Liu.
Hello, hello.
And in a little while, she'll be the host of the Christina Liu Show. So this is really a crazy day for Christina.
I'm really getting, you know, the town's getting their money's worth today.
And the more important thing is we're talking with Alyssa Catone in reference to ageism. And it's really a wonderful conversation. Alyssa is with Family First Home Companions. Actually, before we go back to ageism, just give us a little bit more about Family Home.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The number, the 631 number is 319-3961.
Correct.
And basically, just to repeat again, it's a companion, but...
Sure. So we're a companion agency. We're non-medical. So we will send caregivers into the homes of older adults and disabled adults, and we provide support around the house. So we'll help with light housekeeping, grocery shopping, meal prep, trips to doctor's appointments, to social events. We will help with pet care. And we really offer that companionship, you know, having right. It's different from having a home health aide come to the home where they're there to like monitor your medical needs. We're really there to support you and to really create that rapport. So it's really a beautiful service.
No, it's wonderful. Yeah. Actually, it's an extension of a family.
Yes.
Because you're not bringing in somebody in a white jacket because it's a medical issue.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, if I call the friends, I do me a favor. You know, I need to go shopping this afternoon. My car broke down. A couple of weeks ago, we had a flood in our basement, and two friends of mine came over and just helped me move stuff around. That's really what it is. Like, I need help for a couple of hours.
You know, when you're like a senior, you know, and you could be alone in the home, you know, that companion thing is such a missing piece. You think about that, you know, when you're younger, you have all these people around you, you know, I mean, I can call anyone at a given time, like, oh, I need help with, you know, A, B, C, and D. But as you get older, you know, a lot of that network, you know, gets smaller for a multitude of reasons. So
yeah,
it's so important.
And I just read this article recently, and it talks about home care companies, so a home health aid company versus companion company. And it was really encouraging companion companies to own the fact that we provide happiness.
Yeah, right.
You know,
we support the person,
but, you know, studies show that if you have positive energy in your life and you're happy, that you're less likely to endure medical ailments.
Right.
And it's really, yeah. I mean, I see it. And just talking to the caregivers and how much they care about their work is really, it's just awesome.
No, I agree. And that's Project Independence. Actually, I'm president of the Great Neck Social Center. It used to be called Senior Center.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's now a social center. But literally, the woman who runs the place, other than the director, is Phoebe. Phoebe's 95
woman.
Years old.
Phenomenal woman.
And she sold her house in Kings Point to move a block and a half away from the center.
Mm.
That's her life.
Yeah.
And she gets down there every day. Now, she's not getting there at 9 o'clock in the morning anymore, but we're not going to complain.
Yeah.
You're listening, Phoebe.
Not going to call out Phoebe.
But she gets there between 9 and 10, and she stays till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, participates in classes, and then does work at the center. And Mel, who Sachs is the president of the veterans group.
He's
94,
phenomenal, Mel,
95.
Yeah.
And I 100% agree with you. You keep, and I mean, one of my main jobs, I'm a financial advisor, and I tell people when they're getting ready to retire, don't retire and just sit home.
Yeah.
Unless you have something to do, keep working. It's a reason to get up in the morning, because otherwise these people...
Yeah, it snowballs into so many different things.
Into nothing.
It's really...
Yeah. And it's a shame, because then you might as well just be a dog in a kennel. And it's a terrible thing to say, but it's like, that's the kind of life. Just change the paper and wait for the next day.
Yeah, and we know that not stimulating your brain is one of the risk factors for Alzheimer's and other dementias.
Right.
So if you can keep working, that's great. But if you're unable to work and you got to retire, you better have a plan in place to keep yourself busy.
I agree.
Yeah.
And the volunteerism, like earlier with the Parker situation, I do a lot of different things, and I try to push people. I say, you're crazy. It's like, well, give it a shot.
Yeah.
You're not going to like everything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not into sports, so I don't want to get involved in something like that. People like pets. Help somebody out, walk a dog. I mean, it's just to get you out of the house for an hour and a half.
Absolutely.
But let's go back to ageism now, because I think we've never had this topic.
Oh,
yeah.
Honestly. And yet it exists very clearly, but it's never discussed.
I preach this all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, my friends, they give me grief because they're like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
But it's
Instead
so true.
Of saying happy birthday, ageism.
Well, I mean, there's the obvious ageism, which would be, you know, denying someone a job because of their age, or elder abuse, taking advantage of an older person, calling an older person useless or cranky or whatever name you want to call. But then there's the not so obvious. And this is really the stuff that I love speaking to because I was on the flip side of this. I worked directly with the older adult population. Not only did I work with older adults directly, but I worked with older adults where a program coincided where there was a lot of youth.
Okay.
So SAGE, senior program, there was a program that coincided where there was youth coming in and out of the doors, staff working with youth. So it was a very... it was just an interesting work environment. Okay. So I would be running programming, and people would call the older adults cute, adorable. I mean, I still hear it today in nursing homes and assisted livings and hospitals. Oh, they're adorable. Oh, dearie, honey, sweetie. Or they'll use the voice that they would use if they were talking to a newborn baby or dog. Like that, you know, the puppy voice you put on. Yeah, and that it grinds my gears because I'm like, these people are... well-seasoned people. They're human beings, and they're not babies. They're not childlike. They are rock stars. They've made it this far, and they could show you a thing or two. So that's one of the not so obvious. So language. The other one, I call it the invisible cloak. So as people age, and let's say their hearing is going, maybe they can't express themselves as quickly as a younger person, they become invisible. People don't interact with them as much because they don't want to repeat themselves two or three times.
Right, it's frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. So they become invisible.
Okay.
And so if people aren't interacting with them, they feel isolated.
Yeah.
Social isolation is a problem for older adults across the board, even when they're around people, you know, if they're going to family functions.
Right.
The older adult typically becomes the one who is not engaged with as much.
Hmm. We've had a audiologist line and say, you know, if they don't hear, you know, as opposed to getting closer and repeating yourself, you walk away from
them. It's actually in, you know, something that we at Project Independence that a lot of our nurses have been doing chats on and really training people on are these, like, how to talk to your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the medical field, it also becomes very difficult because the senior might not be able to hear or express themselves. So they're not really communication. And so then that leads to you being diagnosed with all kinds of things. I mean, I know it happened with my own grandfather, you know, had hearing problems. And people would be like, oh, he's not understanding. Like, no, he just can't hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And, you know, so it's really something, you know, luckily, if you have someone, you know, that can come with you and kind of help advocate. Not everyone has that privilege.
Absolutely.
So we're really trying to get out there and train both the professional and, you know, the patient into kind of how to express yourself, what questions to ask and you know, and how to deal with that, because it can be, you know, just that one thing can snowball into all these different issues.
I mean, even there's two sides to this. So you can have someone who will neglect engaging with an older adult because they just don't know how to.
Right.
Or you have the person that their intentions are great and they really are trying, but they come off condescending.
Yeah.
Or demeaning, so
they're
screaming or they're talking like this, and it's like, all right, pump the brakes. There are effective ways to communicate to older adults. I just created a fact sheet for Long Island Crisis Center, and they recently launched a senior helpline, so seniors can call in and get resources. It's great, and so I created a fact sheet for their counselors who are taking these calls on how to effectively communicate with older adults without coming off as condescending, and really, how can you be effective? Because if you're not expressing something the right way, or if you're not communicating properly, what is the likelihood of that person accessing the resources that you're giving them?
Right.
You know? So
I agree. 100%.
It might just be a dead end. You might just be wasting your time. So now they have a resource where they can
And reference. Some of them you're not going to get. It is like children, though, because you can't just broad stroke, because some of them, some you can't get through.
Correct.
Seniors. I mean, 90 years old is like, but you can't turn around and put them all in that category.
Right.
And therefore, you're neglecting 90%.
Right. Absolutely.
And it's same with kids. Some just, they're not going to listen.
Yeah.
So you have to put them in the category, he's immature.
Right.
It doesn't mean they're all immature.
Yep.
And which is a difficult...
Oh, I know. Firsthand, one of my closest friends is 96, and I can't tell her anything sometimes. And I'm just like, all right, well, here's the information.
Right, okay.
And if you choose to do something about it, there you go.
It's the truth, though. I can see that.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
But it's you can more importantly see how this does get clumped together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
And I've seen it all the time, but I'm not even paying attention to it until today when you're saying
it. Yeah. No, it's exactly, because you're just, you know, this is just, you're just kind of used to these things because they are these institutionalized isms that you're like, all right, this is just kind of like what it is, you know, and it's until you really bring it to you say, oh my God, it's like the light bulb goes off, like, you know, that, how often do you see, you know, these things go on?
Another thing I picked up relatively quickly was when I did start working with seniors, I hosted a holiday party.
Okay.
And I set up the tables and the chairs, and I set up the hot buffet, and I'm like, this is going to be awesome. Well, the party starts, and people were complaining about how close the tables were together, the setup of the food tables, how it wasn't easy to just move along and pick up your stuff, and the lighting in the room, and how hot the room was, and I wasn't thinking at the time,
okay,
you know, so
age-friendly
spaces. I just did a webinar on this a couple of months ago on how do you make your space age-friendly, or how do you choose age-friendly spaces for outings with your loved one? Because there are different things that you have to take into account.
Yeah,
is the lighting good? Is the sign,
the noise, too.
Yes,
I mean,
the
it's
noise.
Such a...
Is the sound easy for them to see if they're going to be going to this place on their own?
Mm-hmm.
Is there handicap parking? Are there handicap ramps?
Right.
Is there an elevator? A lot of things that are taken into account. Are there sidewalks? It's, if you go on ARP's website, they have a... I forget the name of the tool, but it tells you how age-friendly a neighborhood is.
Yeah.
So you could type in your
And
control.
So North Hempstead, actually, I guess it was, maybe it was 2 years ago now, was designated by ARP as an age-friendly space because of Project Independence largely. You know, has so many programs. You know, we have transportation programs and a pedestrian safety thing where we really connect to, you know, making things more visible and larger signs, you know. So it's really, you know, and I think what is good is that the, you know, world is starting to, people want to stay in their home, you know.
Absolutely.
So in order to stay in your home, you need it to be age friendly.
Yeah.
So it's really like these steps that I think, you know, people are starting to realize, like, you know, how to, it's things you take for granted, you know, that you need to really kind of have set up this plan to do this. So, but that's definitely, and hopefully the world is kind of going in
this
that
was
direction.
Amazing. We're out of time.
Oh my gosh. I didn't
realize that. The button's gone.
Wow. Yeah.
But before I say thank you, I just want to say one thing. You set up this party. Okay, but the other part of it, which I think is most important, you did the right thing for the right reasons.
Yeah.
If you made a mistake, and I tell people, do it. Yeah, maybe you didn't do the lighting and you put the tables, but that's not the point. The point was you created a space that you, out of love, did for people. Then next time you'll fix it.
Yeah. Yep, you learn.
But in the beginning, you're better to do something than nothing. And then say, oh, Alyssa, we could have done it. Alyssa, we could have done it.
John said, we love a party over here. So there you go.
Party, party.
That's it. I want to thank you so much.
Oh.
That's Family First Home Companions, Alyssa Catone. This was just,
great.
This was amazing.
Absolutely.
And you're going to come back because this is a conversation that easily could be continued.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay? Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're listening to 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.